Welcome to the Organize 365 podcast. I'm your host, professional organizer, productivity expert, and motivational speaker, Lisa Woodruff. This podcast will help you embrace progress over perfection and create lasting functional organizing in your home. I have so much to share with you, so let's get started. Kristen, welcome to the Organize 365 podcast.
Lisa, it is so good to be here with you and talking with you today.
I'm so excited for our conversation. But first, how did you find Organize 365?
So I found you via the podcast. This was probably around 2016. I've been around for a while. So I just did a search. I think it was in Apple Podcasts, and I typed in the word productivity. I was in a very unproductive time in my life around that year. And your podcast, I think, was the only one that popped up. So I'm like, what is this? What is Organize 365? Who is Lisa Woodruff? So I just binged as much as I could from there. I think that was right around the time you came out, or were going to come out, with the Sunday basket. So I went all in on that as soon as that was available. And I actually still have my original Sunday basket, one with the lid. And, you know, I've just kind of been following you ever since.
So who lives with you in your house?
So it is my husband, my 8-year-old daughter, Shelby, and my 3 dogs.
So what had you Googling for productivity? Would this have been when Shelby was a baby?
Yeah, Shelby was probably around 2 years old.
Oh, two. Two is when I broke as well. I mean, Abby and Greg are trying to get Grayson to walk. He's 14 months. He is starting to walk. And my friends are all like, push him back down. I'm like, I know, right? And they're like, hasn't Abby listened to the podcast? Doesn't she know you're just in for the baby stage? I'm like, I'm trying to tell him. Like, as soon as he's running, like, you guys have fun, I'm done. Like, yeah. 2-year-olds are not my thing. I broke it too. Totally broke.
I think that's probably what happened because
oh my gosh.
I work a full-time job. I mean, I've been in the same job for the last 12 years. So it's a very, very stressful, high responsibility job. And Yeah, you know, a toddler running around, maintaining a household and a family. I literally, that's a great word to use to describe that situation. Broken.
And it's so interesting that you Googled productivity. Most people who find the podcast Google organization. And so I'd love to have a tiny little side conversation about that, because I would have been the person who probably would have Googled productivity as well. Like, there's probably not a productivity book out there that I haven't read. And I think the reason that we Google productivity, and you tell me what's true for you, but what's true for me, and I mean, this was my entire 30s and the beginning of my 40s before I completely broke. I always Googled productivity because it was like, I didn't want to stop doing any of the things I was doing. Like, I want to raise a human. We need to make money. I want my house to look good. I want to have a good marriage. I want to be a good child of God. I want to like have my bath time. I want to do I didn't want to give anything up. So I was like, how can I task stack this and smush it down so I can literally do everything and still have sleep? And that's why I would have looked for productivity.
And I think that was exactly it. I was kind of doing all of those things, the working, the raising a family, but I wasn't doing them well.
Right.
I was just kind of dabbling in little things here and there. And then I was just, you know, I was not making time for the things that mattered at that point. I was just very overwhelmed. And I'm just like, there's gotta be a better way, you know, to get all of these things done and have the time to do the things that you want to do and the things you were uniquely created to do.
Yeah.
How do I get there? You know, maybe I need to start getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning. How can I be more productive in my life? There's gotta be secrets out there. There's gotta be, you know, maybe I'm not doing this right. You know, that's kind of where my head was at the time, because I just felt just not in a good place, not in a good place at all.
So I think I did that for a decade. And then I ended up sitting on my bed at 40, having quit my job. And then I started Organize 365. And I would say that my productivity in my 40s was different than my productivity in my 30s. So I had my children at 27 and 28. Like that's when we adopted our children. So my 20s mostly were childless. So raising the young kids that like needed you for everything was in my 30s. Part of me just wants to just call a spade and let everyone know who has children under the age of six. That's part of the game. Like, I mean, it's, you know, words I can't say right now. Everything I'm thinking of, I'm like, that's not on my podcast. I don't even, it's a trying time. It's a refining fire. It's monotonously boring, but also so awesome to see. Like, there is no way to raise humans without going through the 10 years it takes from, you know, conceiving and the birth and the getting of the child and then having the youngest child be five, however long that is for you, which is a minimum of 6 or 7 years to maybe 15 years, depending on how many children you have. That period of time is not productivitable. It's not organizationable. It is a season that you live through and you embrace the chaos, or you don't, and you have a lot of migraines and you're a crabby parent because of that. But it's, you can't productivity your way out of babies.
Right.
And toddlers. Right. Like, I just feel like some people need to hear that. Like, this is not your time to, I don't know, start a foundation. Like, it's just, you can't.
I know.
I mean, you can.
That's amazing, but I don't know.
You can, but also, and also if you did that, you're like, well, I did it. Like, also, can we just agree that the babies do not remember what you did during that time? So you're like, oh, I wasn't there for them. And I wish I was there for them. Like, so-and-so, they don't know. So why are you still beating yourself up about it? Like, build a bridge, move over it. Like, I just want you to hear me. Like, if you have children under the age of five, or you're pregnant, or you're trying to get pregnant, or you're adopting or whatever, like, you're in chaos. Like, it is chaos. It can be more organized if you want it to be more organized, but also it doesn't have to be if you don't want it to be, because no one's going to remember. And anything you do, it's going to be undone by the end of the day. And maybe that sounds depressing, but also it's true.
And I think that's
it's true.
I needed this conversation 8.5 years ago because I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? This is just, yes. And I think you use this term pretty often. It's shoveling in the snowstorm.
Snow in a snowstorm. Like, it's pointless.
Shoveling snow in the snowstorm. Exactly. That's it. And you know, my daughter is 8.5. It's like, I kind of just feel like I'm on the way out of the chaos.
Wait till 10. I mean, oh, at no. 10, you're gonna be like, ah.
Okay, good.
Like, yeah. 10 to like 13, 14, like golden. And then it'll be like, driving around. But I do think we like either label it organization or productivity. And what we're trying to do is say, like, I'm the first to say you can have and be all the things. So you can have all the things a little bit, or you can have a couple of things a lot, but you can't have all the things a lot.
No.
So go deep on one or two. This is why I love in planning day for the home, where we're like, what is your primary role and responsibility in the next 120 days?
Right.
Newsflash, last quarter, I picked traveling CEO. My family was not happy about it. I didn't really care because I had picked homeowner and chief cleaner and all of those things for so many times. I picked traveling CEO. It was a great quarter. I loved it. Like, and you know, they're going to complain anyway, so you might as well do what you want to do.
And I think that's maybe the thing too, is prioritizing what is important. Because yeah, you can make that list in planning day and write down 10 things you want to do in the next 100 days. And you look back at it and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm a failure. I didn't get any of that done. But it's like, well, what was the priority, you know? So I think I'm still kind of struggling with prioritizing things, but I'm getting better.
And so let's call that differentiation between productivity and prioritization. So a lot of times you think like, well, if I'm productive, then I am prioritizing. No, they're two 100% different things. Okay. Priority means one, by the way. So if you have like a top three priorities, like you've already, like, that's not a priority. Like, there's one. So if you could only do one thing for the next 120 days, like obviously if you're a mother, you're going to be a mother, but you don't always have to have your, being the mother be the priority. I know it's blasphemy, but you can still be a mother and have something else be the higher priority for a short period of time. It doesn't mean it's forever. That's why I love that it's just 120 days. You get to repick and repick and repick. And if you keep making something different the priority three times a year, everything gets its turn to shine and really get cleaned up. It's kind of like if you keep going back to the kitchen and cleaning and organizing the kitchen is great, but the rest of the house suffers.
Yes.
But if you prioritize the kitchen and then a bedroom and then a bathroom and then the laundry room, like everything gets their chance to really have all of your extra time, whether that's only 15 minutes a week or 15 hours a week, it doesn't matter. That one space is getting all of your extra time because it's the priority this week. And then it gets leveled up. So if you think about your own life, like if you focus on being a great parent, you level that up, then a great spouse, then a great employee, then a great whatever your uniqueness is, and then a great, and you just kind of keep spreading it around. But here's the trap I fell into, and I want to know if you are falling into this trap. So I Googled everything about productivity. Better lists, longer lists, prettier checklists, organized lists, lists that had lists, lists that referred to other lists. Here's the problem with lists, and this is why I don't make lists anymore. They never go away. They're never done. Like you are never going to be done with your list. Never, ever, ever. Repeat after me. I will never be done with my list. So if you're never going to be done with your list, then what's the point? Because you'll just productivity yourself into the grave.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. And I think I'm a huge list person as well. The prettier the printable, you know, oh, it's going to be done because it's on a pretty printable.
Yeah.
back to the priority conversation. This last quarter, my priority was, my home is pretty decluttered. My home is pretty organized, but I really wanted it, you know, level 10, like the container store bin.
Nice.
It's and all that stuff. I don't have time for that.
Oh, darn. I thought you were going to say you did it. Cause like, I still haven't gotten done. I'm like, can I have a tour? Cause mine isn't that way.
But I did it. I did it. I hired somebody to do it for me.
Okay.
This is a huge priority. So I just want this done because I want to free up, you know, that time, that mental space in my head to stop thinking about, you know, these drawers and cabinets and things in the kitchen that are not organized. Well, I'm going to hire somebody to do it. And I did.
And it's how do you like it?
It is amazing. I mean, the kitchen alone, just having... That was actually 2 weeks ago. I had an organizer come to my house and, oh man, I did not realize how much stuff I had in some of those drawers and how old some of these things were and just a huge, huge burden and just mental bandwidth, you know?
Oh,
just,
awesome. Oh, I'm so excited for you. So she did the kitchen or the whole house?
At this point, she's actually coming tomorrow to do my closet.
Great.
And so at that point, it will pretty much be the entire house after tomorrow.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. Awesome. So when did you get to the point? Because it took me a while to get to this point. And I would say it's only a couple of years ago where I could have the list or have the Sunday basket and know there were things that needed to be done, but still say, I'm still going to go take a bath and do my puzzle at 5:30 on a Wednesday.
Yeah.
Instead of going back to the list and doing as many more things as I could do before bed.
That is still a constant struggle. That really is. And that just kind of, you know, I'm working on prioritizing some of those things. It's really difficult. It's really difficult to put the list away, put the planner away and just not look at it anymore because you know it's there in your brain. You know that those items are going to be there tomorrow staring you in the face. And, you know, I feel the same way. It's like, I don't take baths, but I take naps. I would love to take a nap rather than cleaning out my daughter's clothes or whatever the task is.
Yeah.
It's just like, once I take the nap, I'm good though. Cause it's like, well, if I didn't take the nap now I have more energy to do the things. It's just kind of that, you know, you don't put yourself first in a lot of the situations and then that kind of snowballs into bad moods and arguments and snapping at people. And
absolutely. Have you been able to look at the list and take things off the list and say, you know what, I'm just not going to do that. Like, even though I put it on the list, I've decided, you know, I'm just not, nobody's even going to notice. And I'm just creating busy work or hobby work. Have you gotten to that point?
I have. And it takes me a while to get there, but once I noticed, you know, every week on the dump list for the Sunday basket, there's just things that I'm just rewriting again and again and again. It's like, okay, you know, is that a this week project? Is that a Sunday project? What are we doing with this? So yeah, I have. I've had to let some things go. And, you know, it's just, it may not be the right time, but I do put it on a note card and I put it in a little pink splash pocket in my Sunday basket labeled Sunday. And it's just something that I will revisit in the future, but it is hard because it's like, well, I don't want to cross that off because it's not done. But
so what's the worst that's going to happen if you actually just throw that paper away instead of putting it in the pink slash bucket?
Nothing. Because, well, at this point, it's like, well, that's a good idea. You know, I really do want to do a photo organization course. Am I going to do that within the next 6 months? No, yeah. Probably not. But I like the idea of it. I want to do it at some point. So
you decided to Google productivity and you decided to get organized because you're in the chaos of a toddler.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And what did you try and why were you ready to try Organize 365?
So I think the main struggle at that point in time was my paper. The paper was completely, completely out of control. This is embarrassing, but I would grab my mail every day and I would just come home and I would just throw it in a cardboard box. I would kind of pull out, you know, things that looked important. I wouldn't even throw away the trash. I would just throw it in this cardboard box. And, you know, that stuff piles up quick and, you know, then there's another box and then there's another box and then there's another box and, oh, wait, there's a birthday party invitation in one of those boxes someplace. So I knew that that was kind of part of my struggle. I think I probably struggled with anxiety at the time, just thinking about like, oh my God, what is in those boxes? I don't know what's in those boxes.
Yes.
So that was part of the reason why I jumped on the Organize 365 train. It was just, first of all, your energy is so contagious. It is so contagious even through the podcast. Just, I can see you smiling. I can feel your energy and it's so motivating just to hear you every week. And it's just, that has been a huge motivator for me. But I also think, you know, once the Sunday basket started getting going and I kind of got that process, you know, in a good place, things just started to move better. I wasn't reacting to things, you know, a bill would come in that's due in 2 weeks. Oh, cool. You know, Sunday basket. I remember at the time, I used to take vacation days from work just to go through the cardboard boxes of paper to see if there was anything that I could, you know, get through. It's like a vacation day. I work really hard for vacation days, not to spend them going through cardboard boxes of paper. So yeah, that's kind of where I was like, no, this is not okay. This is not normal. I should not be doing this on my hard-earned day off.
How long did it take you to establish the Sunday basket?
The Sunday basket took me a while at the time because I had so much paper and a lot of it was actionable. So, you know, I think I actually had two Sunday baskets at the time. I had a white one and a blue one. So it was, I was kind of going back and forth between two. They were both full all the time, just because I was so behind on life and everything going on and all my paper. I want to say that it probably took me a good 6 months to really get it, you know, cleaned up and streamlined. I've been doing it every week since then. And if I don't do the Sunday basket, I am a scattered, disorganized, awful mess.
Well, when you started the Sunday Basket, was the original one, there was no Sunday Basket Club. The certification was brand new. So there were very many certified organizers and we were not doing it online. It was only in person. So if you were in the same place you were then now, and you started the Sunday Basket, do you, I mean, it's still the quantity of paper would have had to have gotten through. Your child would be still two. You still would be working that full job. Would the Sunday Basket Club have helped you? You know, you could do a paper organizer retreat just for your Sunday Basket people. Like you could have just done a paper organizer retreat just to get your Sunday Basket going.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I've actually done a paper organizing retreat since. And it's like, oh my gosh, this is what I needed, you know, six, 8 years ago. I mean, I would have had it done in a weekend. And it took me
six. And like if you're already taking the vacation day anyway.
Right. And
yeah.
You know, truth be told, I still do paper organizing retreats with some of the certified organizers. Oh my gosh. I mean, there's still, you know, I've got my binders and everything, but stuff still does get piled up and needs to be put away and filed. But it's just, yeah, the accountability is tremendous in doing it with someone, doing it with the Sunday Basket Club on Sundays. That's a huge, huge thing with me. I love working with all the certified organizers. They're amazing people.
And you are one.
Yes, I am.
So, Kristen, where are you located in the world?
I'm located in Southern California. I live in the Palm Springs area. It's a city called Indio.
Yes.
Rebecca.
I love Palm Springs. My sister was just there last week.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. My parents used to live in Santa Rosa Cove.
Okay. Yes.
So heaven on earth, by the way, if you've never been, people, Palm Springs is heaven on earth.
It's awesome. It does get hot here, but it is awesome.
You can be inside during that time. It's a dry heat. Heat of a million.
It's been kind of humid the past few summers, but.
Yeah. I was never here there during that time. So I didn't, you know, still heaven for me. Why did you decide to be a certified organizer, to become a Paper Solution certified organizer?
So I just saw the impact that it made in my life, my productivity, my sanity. Just having a system for the paper, having a process for all of these, you know, paper's not going away. Like you say all the time, it's not going anywhere. So we've got to do something with it. And I just, the impact that it made in my life was really the decision maker for me, to become Paper Solution certified.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. Let's move on to your house out of the paper. So what was the first thing that you noticed was organized in your house that wasn't the Sunday Basket?
So, before I hired my organizer friend to come help me organize my house, I organized my daughter's room. Took some vacation days for that. I took 2 days and her room was pretty bad. It was like, you can't see the floor. Just, it needed a really good purge and a system where she can easily find things and put things away. So I must've spent probably 14 hours in that room. Just took everything out of the closets, everything out of her little bins. And bought some cube systems with cute little baskets. And that has worked ever since. That was about 2 years ago. Had some, you know, touch-ups here and there, but really for the most part, once I saw, you know, her friends come over and they, okay, it's time to clean up. It's like, everybody knows where everything goes. And, you know, it takes 5 minutes rather than 30 to clean things up. So that's when I was like, okay, this is awesome.
And what was her response when she came home from school? I'm assuming she was at school when you did this and saw that you had cleaned and organized her room.
Yes. I was terrified to have her come home because I was like, oh my gosh, she's going to see all the stuff that I threw away. I mean, I moved it out, but I was like, she's going to know. She didn't even bat an eye. I mean,
they love it. You guys, they love it.
Love it. Yeah.
Yes.
So much. I think I purged probably 4 or 5 of like the big black trash bags of stuff. Yes. Yes. I just took it outside. She never knew. She never knew.
Because, okay. How she's 8 now. So maybe she was 6 when you did, like, there was baby stuff in there, right? Like and toddler, and like, she doesn't need it. She doesn't care if you move it out.
No. And then when you know, when I tried to organize with her there, like, okay, maybe she can help me. Like, no. Oh, she wants to keep everything. Oh no, I play with that. No, you don't.
I am all for kids learning the skill of organizing, but also a little organizing during the school day doesn't hurt. And you reduce the overwhelm for them. And then you show, then when they walk in and they see less, they actually see things. They're like, oh, I forgot I had this. Oh, I forgot I had that. And everything has a place to go. So, yeah, kids love it. Like my kids love it when I would clean and organize their rooms. And they're 21 and 22 now. Joey's birthday is in January. And my new thing for their birthdays is I will do all of their laundry. I'll clean and organize their apartments. And I give them other gifts too, but that is the gift of time. Like they get me that weekend, like the weekend of your birthday, we'll go through every drawer, every room. They love it. My kids love it because they want to do it with somebody. They want somebody to help carry all the bags.
Yes.
And they want somebody to say yes, no, you know, and wash all their clothes. I mean, when you're in your 20s,
that's huge.
Everything's dirty, by the way. Yeah. Everything's dirty. Just wash it all. It's great. And it like resets them going forward for their next year. It's just such a gift. And then also it's a gift for me because then I get to spend a weekend with my kids that are in their 20s talking, catching up on life. Because when you're doing a project like that, it's not done in 30 minutes. And so you just get to start, have some off conversations and, you know, tell me about your life and just kind of work side by side. It's really great. So
yeah, that's awesome.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. What story do you most want to share about your organizing journey?
I think just the time that it has given back to me. And like I said, the mental bandwidth. I don't know. I used to remember some nights just laying in bed. Oh my God, you know, the pans in that kitchen cabinet are just like upside down and then it's just a mess. And oh my God, just these weird things that would come to my brain at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So it's like, why am I doing this to myself? And you know, I did not have the time to organize. You know, we do sports things on the weekends and my daughter has birthday parties. So it's like weekends are just not weekends for me. So, you know, hiring somebody, you know, just saying, hey, I need help. I can't do this on my own. Mm-hmm. She actually comes during the work week. I work from home part of the week. So she's in one room. I'm in my office working and it's like, this is perfect. This is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. You're hiring your own babysitter.
Exactly. But just the time. Mm-hmm. And that is actually how I found the time to start my side business as a certified organizer. Cause I mean, I signed up a few years ago. I really hadn't done a whole lot with it. And now it's like, okay, now I have the time and the energy to focus on this because I'm not worried about, oh, I should be organizing that closet or organizing that, you know, drawer over there. Like this is my, you know, so
awesome. Time. What do you wish you'd known sooner?
I wish that I had known that I could ask for help, that there are people out there to help. I know that, you know, finding you in 2016 was great. I didn't even know I needed the help at the time. And it was just like, oh, well, here we go. You know, this is going to be very helpful. Because like my husband's not going to help me organize anything or go through paper or anything like that. But I wish I would have found your community sooner and the help sooner. And I wish the certified organizers were around earlier for sure.
And I think when you mention your husband isn't going to help, Greg is also not going to help. And I think there is a secondary conversation going on, you know, in the world about how you know, there should be more gender equity at home and a more even division of labor at home. And intellectually, I completely understand that conversation. And as a society, I completely see our society moving in that direction. And then when you get behind closed doors, like, you know, we're all just 12-year-olds that actually got jobs and have houses now. And so we're playing marriage and like we're kind of locked in to the marriage that we bought into when we got married. Like I've been married like 27 years. Like I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. I was. Well, okay, the kids are grown. Hello. So yeah. Now I am a CEO, but in our mind, like in Greg's in my mind, he takes out the trash and does the lawn. I do the laundry and I do the dishes. Like that has not changed for 27 years and it will not change for the next 27. I have cut the grass one time and I think he forgets that I ever did it. And I tell him, I don't know how. I will take out the trash like 3 times a year. Like yep. If he's having a really bad day, I take out the trash. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't know how. It's just not my job. I do the dishes. He does the trash. You know, we kind of like did this split up. And yep. So as you age and as your family morphs and changes, you have different skill sets, but let me just tell you, I have paid the bills the entire time we've been married. Yep. There was a small period of time where Greg did it. He actually balances things to the penny. Mm-hmm. That's closest to divorce we ever came. It's debt back to me. It's Lisa Mac. It's, you know, here or there, $100. Like it's fine. As long as everything's going to clear, we're good to go. Nobody needs to know about it. Like it's interesting, but I do it like, and I'll say like, do you want to take over this? Nope. Don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Anything legal related? Me. Like as soon as the kids turned 16, I marched them right into the bank and had a notary sign power of attorney. So I was power of attorney for both the kids. Like I'm setting up a will for Abby. So if anything were to happen to her, Grayson, you know, we are the desert. And I said to Greg, I was like, well, you can do this. He goes, why? Like, I don't even know why we're doing this. I'm like, because she has a baby. And right. If anything happens to her, we need to be the guardians of the baby. He's like, I don't even think that's a thing. I'm like, it's a thing, Greg. This is a thing we have to do. Like my wanting it done is extremely much higher than his wanting it done. Also, I could care less. Like if you cut the grass, like, I don't know, 10 times per summer, like every other week's fine. Like as long as it's not going to seed, I'm fine. He's yeah. like, did you notice the grass is cut? No, I did not notice, but I do notice when the dishes are not done. So it's kind of like what you notice. So yeah. I just want to say that you can grow and evolve and change, and we can all strive into what we are uniquely created to do, but you cannot make somebody else change so that you could do something else that you're uniquely created to do. And there are a lot of men in their 40s, 50s, and 60s that thought they were signing up for something completely different and the world has changed on them. And they're like, we don't even know what you're talking about.
Right.
Like, so Grayson, you know, I changed the diapers. Greg has changed, I think, 2 wet diapers. I think it's because he was the only one home, which we've only done twice. But Abby and I was like, I think he pooped. I go over, I smell it. He's like, oh God, I can't believe you guys are constantly doing that. I'm not home to you. Dad, smell his butt. He's like, no, I'm not smelling it. I'm not smelling it. I'm not changing it. I don't do this. Like, I don't do this. He's like having an identity crisis. This is not me. This is not what I do. I play on the floor. This is what I do. And I think it's okay. I think behind closed doors, like I'm pretty open about my marriage and what you see behind our closed doors, because as soon as you start talking about it, it normalizes it. And I'm not saying it's like the right thing to do. I'm just saying it's how it's been done for the last 50 years. So yeah. As the world changes, the last thing to change is inside of your house.
Yep.
Like society changes, corporations changes, governments change, you change as an individual. And then inside of the house, the entire family sometimes changes, but also your 12-year-old child, when you're inside of your house, your family of origin, you're like, you just get very cemented into your way of doing things. So yeah, I think that when we look at like, okay, I'm listening to this podcast, I'm listening to these people who are taking back their life. And then we say, hey, you should be doing all this work because I listen to this podcast and I want to get organized. So you need to do it. That's not how this happens.
No.
It's not. No, there are a lot of kids listening to the podcast that just heard, Kristen, that you organize a room and they're like, no, I want to organize a room because they're listening to me and they want to organize a room. And to you kids, I say, go for it. Like that is your mini apartment. You help your parents out. Like, yes, organize your room. But if the kids aren't listening to the podcast and you want the room organized, then Kristen, you have to go organize it. If you want your garage organized, you have to go organize your garage. Unless, you know, your husband is like, okay, I see what you're doing here. And I'd like to organize blah, blah, blah. So this is so funny. Greg says to me, he's always like, maybe I'll organize my closet this weekend. We've been married for 27 years. I don't touch his side of the closet. He has organized his closet, cleaned out his closet twice.
Oh my goodness.
In 27 years. That's not a typo, people. Twice. So now he's flirting with this whole, you know, and every time he's like, oh, and I'm like, I'm not holding my breath. I mean, he says this every once in a while. He gets wild hair. This morning he says to me, so what is the closet rule? He goes, is it that if you haven't worn it in a year, you get rid of it? And I'm sitting here going, the last time he cleaned out the closet, I put it on the blog, which was in 2013.
Whoa.
So it has not been cleaned out since 2013. I'm like, It's been a decade since you did this, like a year. I said, here's the rule, Greg. Do you want to know the rule? He's like, yes, I want to know the rule. The rule is, if I go into your closet and I pull something out and I hand it to you and I say, put this on, we're leaving the house. You go, okay. And you don't go, no, that's too big. That's too small. That's too pilly. That's too blah, blah, blah. I said, anything in your closet is fair game. Like if you go in the closet and you hand it to me, I'll put it on, I'll leave because I feel great in it and it fits. He goes, but what if I'm going to fit it? I was like, and I'm like, I'm not even entertaining this conversation because you're not going to really play with me. You're just mentally playing with me. You're not going to clean out the closet. There are 6 jeans in Joey's old bedroom, which is now Grayson's nursery thing. I'm like, what's with the 6 jeans in the other room? Because he wears one pair and I wash it and he wears one pair. I'm like, what's with the 6 jeans in the other room? Plus there are also like 8 in the closet. He goes, those are my backups.
Oh.
Backups for what? And he goes, well, they don't make my size jeans anymore, or my style jeans or whatever.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. Well, when these jeans are dirty, you know, the 6 days that I have to wash them, why can't we wear one of the backups? Oh, because, you know, these are better than those. Okay. I'm out. I'm like so out of the pants conversation. So you cannot force change on other people or make other people to change because you are making change. I just want to make that really, really clear. Like, you're listening to a podcast about organizing. Mm-hmm. You are a learner. You are not a person that is stuck in one continuum. Like, you're not doing the same thing day after day. Like, you are constantly growing and changing. If you're listening to this podcast, you like to push the limits of your capacity. You like to push the boundaries of what is possible for you. Yep. Most people are not this way. Most people find us exhausting.
Yep.
They're like, I have listened to 5 seconds of Lisa and I cannot listen to more of Lisa. That is just way too many thoughts I haven't had before that I can't unthink now. And I would really like to go back into my bubble. Thank you. Goodbye. So if you are growing and changing at that capacity, not many people around you are going to be. And I think that's why you like the community, Kristen, is because we're all this way. We're all crazy.
You are all my people. Definitely.
We totally are.
Yes. Yes. No, I found my tribe.
And it's okay that our family is still our family that we had before we found Organized 365. There's nothing wrong with your family. There's nothing that needs to change with your family.
I think that was a really big thing for me to wrap my brain around. It's like, my husband is not going to change tomorrow. You know, cleaning the house for me every single week. And it's kind of the same thing that Greg does. He takes out the trash.
Yeah.
And yeah, he did some stuff outside here and there, but you know, it's like, that's all I'm going to get. I know that. I know what his capacity is. And it's like, that's not going to change. He's not going to wake up one day and be a different person and be like, let's go organize every room in this house. Nope. So once I realized that, it's like, that was a big milestone for me. And that's why.
And I think the second part of that for me, which is why I asked you if you've taken any things off and just gotten rid of them, is because when I realized that he was not going to change, and then you see some people on social media that have these spouses that like do everything, and you're like, and then they get divorced and you're like, interesting. Okay, fine. Apparently that wasn't actually a thing. That's when I realized that, okay, Lisa, if you're going to make all this imaginary hobby work, perfect work that nobody is even noticing, is that really how you want to spend your time?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So some of it we put on ourselves, because Greg will always say, you brought this on yourself. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I did. You know, I'm sure I will be rich if I get a quarter for every time he tells me I brought the PhD on myself. As soon as we start that, I'm sure you brought this on yourself. I know I did. And I'm going to class at 11 o'clock at night, Eastern. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But I think that I am taking that on myself, and I know I am for a purpose, but I also have done a lot of other things in the past that I take on for myself, that I create a martyrdom situation that is not for any future good.
Yeah.
And could have just been eliminated entirely.
Yeah. I think we all do that. Yeah. And I think one thing, you know, back to talking about what the family notices and what they don't notice, I remember, I think you did a podcast about holiday decorations, and it's
yes,
like kind of time. It's like, I'm putting these decorations up for me. They don't care. They
can right. care.
So it's like, yep. You know what? I'm not doing it.
Yeah. And I was going to address that, because you said sometimes your husband does some things outside. Well, the outside lights at the holidays are 100% Greg. And
yep.
Put them up. Don't put them up. Take them down. Don't take them down. I really don't care. The wreath is up in May. Great. It's going to be a great Insta story. Yeah. Like, I don't care. And I don't. And that's the thing. You have to like let go of emotionally being invested in what someone else does or doesn't do for you, mm-hmm. and what you do for someone else or don't do for somebody else that creates your worth, which is really like probably a whole nother podcast.
And it might that is priorities. Like, is that really the priority, having the lights up out there? No, I don't care.
Right. I don't care.
No, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Funny. All right. Well, before we go, what advice would you give to someone who is just starting out?
Oh gosh. I would say, give yourself so much grace. Give yourself, just love yourself during this time. You know, this is a time of change for you, and, you are investing in yourself at this point. That, you know, it might be a long road, it might be a bumpy road, but the change is coming, and you're going to feel amazing when you're kind of over some of these big hurdles that you've been wanting to accomplish, and it'll happen. It'll definitely happen.
Kristen, thank you so much for sharing your story on the podcast.
Thank you, Lisa. It was wonderful talking with you.